I'm joined by Sue Gray, the board president of the Carbondale Historical Society. How are you, Sue?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well, thank you. And so no longer the Mount Sopras Historical Society.
We are still under the name Mount Sopras Historical Society in a lot of ways, but we're just making it easier for people to search us online. Tourists, you know, who come to town, they would be searching Carbondale History or Carbondale Historical Society. So it's an AKA situation, also known as.
Okay.
It's just simpler to say. It's simpler to search.
Do you know the history of the previous name, Mount Sopras?
Yes. When the organization first started back in the 1980s, they were including marble and redstone, sort of the Crystal River Valley, the whole area all the way to Carbondale. So they put it under the umbrella Mount Sopras Historical Society.
And the concentration today is more specifically Carbondale?
Yes, we're trying to, I mean, we do focus mainly on this town here, and they, you know, marble and redstone have since created their own historical organizations and museums, and so we feel like we can break away from that, but we still do include them in our stories. When people come to town, we talk about the marble, you know, industry and marble, and we talk about the Redstone Castle. And so we do still provide information about the whole Crystal Valley.
We've got another Potato Day coming up. I understand the Historical Society is quite involved in the organization this time.
Yes. There are five organizations now producing Potato Day this year, and that would be the Town of Carbondale, the Chamber of Commerce, the Library, and the Historical Society, and the Sopras Sun. And we're all producing it together.
And what number is this one?
109.
109.
Yeah. Wow. And the theme this year is Taters Take Flight, and that is in reference to the first airplane landing in Carbondale 100 years ago.
And what's the theme for the float that the Historical Society is going to have?
We are doing a theme called Steampunk Spud. So for those of you who don't know what steampunk is, it is a combination of Victorian era clothing, steam technology, steam engines, that type of thing, a little bit to do with early flight, biplanes. It's sort of an offshoot of maybe the goth type of costuming and cosplay type of organizations that came up, you know, back in the 80s and 90s sort of.
I saw some fun photos of a day you had. Was it working on the float together?
Yes. Over at the Thompson House Museum, we had a maker's party. So a steampunk maker's party is for people to come and create costumes and the float that we're going to have, some props. So we all got together, and it was really fun. We just had a trunk full of clothing, old clothing. We put things together, a lot of, you know, lace and leather and that type of stuff. And it was a really fun party. And we had a lot of young people involved in this event, of course, because steampunk is a little bit of younger generation than I am. I'm 61. So these were people in their 30s and 40s, which is a great group of people to be around.
Last year, the Historical Societies proposed to voters Proposition A, 1A, I believe it was.
Yes.
It wasn't passed by voters.
Right.
And could you catch us up a little bit on the status of historical societies in the Valley since?
So 2017, Garfield County ballot issue 1A was a property tax increase for museums and cultural heritage preservation throughout the whole county. So all the museums, including ours. It failed by about 1,100 votes in the county, but Carbondale voters supported it overall. So I just want to thank everybody in Carbondale who voted yes on 1A. Unfortunately, it did not pass. And as a result of that, a lot of the museums and heritage preservation societies are struggling, including ours. The Glenwood Springs Railroad Museum closed, and we actually inherited some of their artifacts that we now display in our cabin museum. But we put a lot of work into the 1A campaign, and we sort of neglected our own fundraising last year. And as a result of that, we are very low on funds. We had to let our director go. Our paid director, Beth White, is no longer our director. And then we underwent some leadership changes. As you know, I became the president recently in April when our former president, Lou Ron Thompson, retired from the board. So we've been struggling to figure out how to raise money, raise funds. And we know that our image in the community is very small. A lot of people don't know who we are, what we do, where we are, what the Thompson Museum is, or even the cabin and jail and cabin history park on the corner of Went and 133 is an asset that we have, and people don't really know it's there or what it is. So we're trying to, in addition to rebranding with our name, let the community know what we have to offer and ask the community what we can offer them, what they want to see from us, what would be interesting from the Historical Society's perspective in displaying our history and talking to people about their family stories.
For listeners who do feel the intrinsic value of history and want to support the Historical Society, either by joining the board or bringing their fundraising ideas or making a donation, where can they get into contact?
They can email info@carbondalehistory.org. We have a new website, which we just launched today. Carbondalehistory.org is our website. They can call me at 970-414-1078 if they want to get involved as a volunteer or give me some ideas about fundraising. We're also on Facebook, and our address is P.O. Box 2, Carbondale, Colorado, 81623, if you just want to send a check, and it would be to the Mount Soapers Historical Society or the Carbondale Historical Society, however you want to make it out. And I did want to mention that Potato Day this year is going to benefit the Historical Society by any profits that are made on the lunch tickets will go to the Historical Society this year.
What's the date on that again?
October 6th.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Sue Gray. This being our membership drive, do you have any words for people who listen to KD&K and are thinking about supporting?
Oh, definitely we should support our local radio station. We get news and programming on this station that you really can't find anywhere else. And it's local, it's pertinent to our lives here, as well as hearing about what's going on in the nation and the world. So it's very important to support KD&K, our local radio station.
Thank you so much, Sue.
You're welcome. Thanks, Raleigh.